Good morning, Drift Run Church, again. It's good to be with you this morning. I want to tell you something. Like that song said, if you're sitting here this morning and you're just going through the motions, let me tell you something. You do not have to go through the motions of serving Jesus Christ this morning. You can get as close, you can get as much of the Spirit in your life as you want, if you want it. But now, if you're just tickled to death by just coming and sitting on a pew and not doing anything for Him, I'll tell you that, you can just go right ahead and live your life. I'm telling you, Dave Long cannot live like that. I've got to feel the Spirit of God in my life. I can't go just through the motions of serving Jesus. You know, they sang a song a little bit ago, "My Chains Are Going." You know what? You could be sitting here this morning like Jacob Marley of the Christmas Carol. You know, the one that goes up to visit Ebenezer Scrooge, and he's got all these chains tied to him. There are people running around in this life who are like that. They have all kind of chains attached to them in their life. And you know what? They can't seem to get rid of them. But you know what? Jesus Christ can free you of those chains. He can take those chains off of you. He can set you on fire for Him. And I'll tell you what you could be, just exactly what He wants you to be in His life. Praise God. You do not have to drag that stuff around with you in your life all the time. You don't have to do it. That's what an altar is. Whether it's this altar, whether it's out there in the world somewhere, whether it's your house, is to lay it on the altar and to leave it there. Leave those chains and let Him take them away from you. Praise God this morning, you know, my chains are gone. That's what the song said. You don't have to live through the motions. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God who is able to do above and beyond all that we wish and hope for. I tell you what, praise God this morning. We serve that kind of a God this morning. Amen? You know what? I want to talk to you this morning about the armor bearer. What I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning. We're going to be over in 2 Timothy, the second chapter. The third and the fourth verse, we'll get down to that. You know what? I'll have a word of prayer here in a minute, and we'll get to reading the Scripture. Everyone here that knows Jesus as their Savior has a special talent. You are enabled to do something for Jesus Christ. You have a spiritual gift in your life. If you know Jesus this morning, I want you to know that you have a special spiritual gift in your life. You do. Not everyone's is the same. It cannot be the same. You know what I mean? If time would allow, I could go through this church and point to every one of you and tell you what I feel that your gift is. Some, you know, can testify. Some can sing. Some can do all manner of things. Some are givers. Some are just shy. Some are just those that show up service after service. You know what? Everyone here has a gift. And praise God for your gift. And you know what? You know, you see it, maybe it's not so important so much. Maybe you think that your gift is not so important. But I want you to understand something this morning. What God has given you is a gift, whatever it may be. I want you to know that that is what God has given you, and it is important to the unity of this church. It is important to the unity of the church of the living God. Amen? I don't care what you do or what kind of gift God's given you. We need each other. As members of Drift Run Church, I don't care. You know what? You could grab each other's hands, and you know what? We need each other. Amen? We do. Paul tells us in Ephesians 4, 1 and 3, therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Walk worthy of it. You are a child of the living God. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Walk worthy of the vocation He has given you. Whatever it may be, walk worthy of it. You know what? And it goes on to say, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And it goes on to endeavoring to keep unity. Listen to this. Endeavoring to keep unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring means what? It means a concerted effort to do what God wants you to do. You know why? We have to put some effort into serving God. We have to do that. You know what? I don't know about you. What kind of preaching would it be if I didn't put no effort into trying to study God's Word? If I didn't try to do what God wants me to do? What kind of a sermon do you think you would get? You know what? It wouldn't be very good. And I'll tell you what, God wouldn't let me do that. Because he puts on my heart and my mind and my soul all the time. He tells me, listen, you have a job, an important job, to try to uplift people, to try to bring them closer to God. And if the time ever comes that he tells me that's not what I'm doing, that you're doing wrong, I need to either get it right or I need to get down out of here. Amen? We have to put a concerted effort into endeavoring to try to keep the unity of peace. To keep unity, to be like-minded. Whenever we are like-minded, we can get so much done. Amen? We can get so much done. How many of you know that keeping total unity in a church sometimes is almost impossible? Do you know that? Oh, I've been around enough of them to know, and I know you have too. But there are times that you can't do it. People aren't always on the same page. As much as I try to preach it, as much as people try to teach it, there are times when not everyone is on the same page. And that's the times right there that we have to be very careful. Amen? Why? Because the battle is going on spiritually. Amen? It is going on spiritually. Warfare is alive and well in the 21st century. In the 21st century church, Satan and his little demons are trying to do whatever they can to run discord in the churches, to have unity not in there. Because why? Because whenever a church is fussing and fighting and not unity in it, they can't do the will of the Father. And if we can't do the will of the Father, that makes the devil happy. I want you to know something, boy. Unity has to be something that's kept. It has to be. You know, why Paul tells us over in Ephesians, it tells us over there in Ephesians 6 chapter, and you all know the scripture, it says to put on the whole armor of God. That's why he tells every individual Christian that we have to put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave a place open for the devil to be able to get in there. Listen to me, you can't even leave a crack. You can't even have a little crack in there. And you know what happens if you leave a crack and Satan gets in there. Then that's when discord happens. That's whenever we don't have unity. Because you know what? We're not willing to do the will of God. We're wanting to do our own will. And I want to tell you something. Whenever we start wanting to do what we want to do our own will, there is going to be trouble. You can mark it down. Put a big check mark beside it because that's what's going to happen. You know, whatever we do, we can withstand the wiles of the devil if we say it plain. We can withstand, let's just say it plain, we can withstand the schemes of the devil. We can do that if we need the protection. We need protection, and we need protection of the whole armor of God. We can withstand the schemes that the devil tries to use against us if we put that on. I understand that our battles are going on in some of our lives today. I can tell you, I feel that there are people probably sitting in this church right now that where the battles are going on in your life right now. I know that. I know there are people in this church that have fought battles in previous battles and have fought them. And I know that. And I want you to know, if you're sitting here today and your things are going happy-go-lucky for you, I can almost guarantee you that there's going to be a battle in your life somewhere down the road. That's why God tells us it's important in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God, whether things are going good, whether they're going bad, whether you're fighting right now, whether you're not. Have the whole armor of God on you right now. And if we do that, praise God, when the devil comes, we can stand in the goodness and the graciousness of God. Amen? We can do that. Because it all, I understand that. Remember, you are not going through this battle alone. I want you to understand it. Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen? We have a high priest that has been touched in every way that we have, but has in all points was tempted like as we were, yet he was without sin. That's what makes him different than us, right? That's what makes it. But you know what? That thing that makes him different is the reason we can go to him. The reason that he understands, because he was tempted like we are tempted. Everything that you are tempted with, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was tempted with. Everything. Everything he was tempted with. Listen to me. Jesus cares what you're going through. As Christian brothers said also in Romans 12:15-16, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one towards another. Just like Christ cares what we're going through, us as Christian brothers and sisters should also care what everybody else is going through. Whenever there's trouble going on in someone's life, we need to weep when they weep. We need to be happy when they're happy. But why? Because we want to get into somebody else's business? No! It's because that's the way Christians should act with Christians. Amen? To keep unity. Unity is very important. You know, if all armor is to hold up, if all armor is to hold up, if all weapons are to be effective, brothers, and all the devil throws at us, let us now. I want us to read the scripture over Timothy. Right now, we're going to read it, and then we're going to get into the heart of the message that I have for you this morning. 2 Timothy, the second chapter, the third and fourth verse. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth, now listen to this, no man or woman, I'll just put that in it, that warreth entangles himself with affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. You and I cannot entangle ourselves in all the nonsense going on out here in the world. Why? Because there's one that has chosen us. He has chosen, he died for us. He has chosen us to be sons of God whenever we accepted him into our heart. Praise God. That is why we cannot entangle ourselves with the nonsense going on out here in this world today. We cannot do it. We cannot do it. There was a job. There was a job of the armor bearer in the Old Testament. This armor bearer, what he would do, and I believe as we look into what an armor bearer does, what they do, I believe it can help us in the New Testament as well. So you understand? I also believe this morning that our ministry is going to expand here at Drift Run Church. I believe that. I have felt that for a while. And you know what I also believe is going to happen? We are going to be more of you to be armor bearers out there. And we're going to talk about what an armor bearer should be and what they do. What was the job of an armor bearer in the Old Testament? They protected and guarded the king. That's what they did. Listen to me. And they were a servant and a friend to the king. They were loyal and they were committed to the king. Amen? You know what? They were loyal, committed unto death. They were courageous and fearless in battle. That's what an armor bearer was. Armor bearers were handpicked out of all the warriors. They were handpicked out of all the men of valor. You know what? And for why? For they were courageous. Amen? And listen, you know what? They did not want a wimp being an armor bearer. They didn't know what the king said. Some of them were loyal even unto death. There were five armor bearers that were mentioned in the Old Testament. And we're going to study like two or three of them here this morning, Lord willing. And you know what? We're going to take the applications from what these armor bearers did. We're going to bring it up, Lord willing, with his help, and we're going to show you how that those armor bearers and what they brought and how that they used, what they used for that could be used for us as being armor bearers here in the New Testament, for in our church. For I believe God is going to need us. He's going to need armor bearers. You know that? Listen, there were five different ones, but I'm not going to go into all five of them. King Joab had an armor bearer. Nothing is mentioned really of any importance about him, but that was one of them that was mentioned. King Abimelech, you can find out he had an armor bearer, and we're going to get into it. He was mentioned, and we're going to get into him here in just a little bit. Saul had two of them. Well, you remember who one of them was? It was David. David was one of his armor bearers. And then we're going to get into that. And Jonathan, Saul's son, also had an armor bearer. Those are the five that are mentioned in the Old Testament. And God has put this upon my heart to kind of go back and grab them and come up here and see where we're at in the New Testament. All right. In Judges 9th chapter, the 50th through 54th verse, if you want to turn there, I'll give you a second to turn there. We're going to talk about Abimelech's armor bearer. King Abimelech was about one of the most worthless kings that ever was. I'll just put it to you bluntly. He was. He was not a very good king. He had like 70 of his own brothers killed. He had a lot of other stuff done. He was not a very good king. We're in Judges 9th chapter, 50 through 54. Then went Abimelech and Tebaz and encamped against Tebaz and took it. And there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and all they of the city, and shut it up to them, and gat them up to the top of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it, and went hard unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Abimelech's head, and all to break his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor-bearer, and said unto him, Draw thy sword and slay me, that men may say not of me, a woman slew me. And this young man thrust him through, and he died. You understand the culture at that time? If a woman killed you or had any means of killing you, it was like it was disrespectful. It was like it was a dishonor to have a woman kill you. So whenever this lady had dropped this millstone upon this king's head, and he was about to die, and he knew it, he called out to his armor bearer, and he told his armor bearer, listen, I need you to kill me so that they won't say that a woman killed me. That's all that scripture boiled down to. But you know what? Listen to what the armor bearer with him in the heat of battle. Listen, that armor bearer was with him in the heat of battle. Now I want you to understand this morning, listen to me. If you're going to be an armor bearer for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you have got to be willing to be in the heat of the battle. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to step out when things get rough? Are you willing to pray? Are you willing to stay on fire for God whenever maybe it seems like people are coming against you on every side? Maybe people don't agree with what you're doing. Are you willing to be the armor bearer, just like his armor bearer, to stand and go with the king in the heat of the battle? And our king is Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? A lot of people will stay in the ministry while things are going good. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people will come to church and do what they, and come to church and serve God and say, well, I'm going to do this while things are going good in their life. But I want to ask you a question. What happens whenever things start going bad in your life? What happens whenever things start going not the way that you want them in your life? Are you willing then to stay on fire for Jesus? Are you willing then to serve the King? That's the kind of armor bearer that you know what that Jesus wants. That's the kind that He needs for all that He's done. That's what He wants. How many of you are willing to, that the things are going bad, that they don't abandon ship? You know the first thing off of a ship whenever a fire starts? You know what it is? It's rats. That's the first thing that jumps ship. Whenever a fire starts on a ship, you'll see the rats going off the ship. You know what? And I'm not saying, I say that, oh, call anybody a rat, but you understand what I'm saying. If we are going to be the armor bearer for God that we need to be, just because things start going wrong, just because things start going bad, we can't abandon ship. We have to stay in God's house. We have to do what God wants us to do. No matter what, we have to be the servants that God wants us to be, through good times and bad. I think you get it. I'm not an elaborator on any more than that. But you know what? We need to be the type of people that don't abandon ship whenever things get bad. There are going to be people come and go. But praise God, we have to stay faithful to serving Jesus Christ. Amen? We have to do that. Listen, you know what? We can be equally concerned with the king's honor. You know what? When this guy, this armor bearer that did this king in, he was concerned with that king's honor, right? That's why he did that. He didn't want him to say that some woman had killed this guy. So he did it to himself. So he was concerned with the king's honor. Are we concerned with King Jesus' honor? Are we concerned with it enough? Do we stand up and keep His honor at the forefront? Do we stand up and say, Lord, you know what? You are all to me. You're it. You know what? I'm not going to stand here and let people talk bad about my Lord and Savior and say, well, we're going to stand up for Him and we're going to do it in love. But we will stand up for Jesus Christ. We will keep His honor up there where it should be. You know what? I told you this before. People want to talk about God. God, God, God. And God is it. Don't get me wrong. But you mentioned Jesus, that's when it starts going downhill right now. They don't hear about Jesus. You know why? Because the devil has got this world so blinded, they can't see that God, the only true God, that sent His only Son into this world so man could have salvation. They don't want to hear about Jesus. It's time we put the armor up there that is truly Jesus Christ, the armor bearers that we are, that we should be, and put Jesus Christ up there and show them the honor that we have. You know what? We don't want to dishonor Him no more with our actions, do we not? We don't want to dishonor Him with our actions. We want to keep Him as an armor bearer. We want to keep Him at the forefront and honor Him, right? You know what? Praise God this morning. I want to tell you something. You know what? There are people that could have fallings out with you. They could do all manner of things to have fallings out with you. And you know what they'll do? They'll go out there and they'll go to some other church and they'll start talking about how bad it is here. So especially if somebody else wants to start coming here or coming to this church or any church. And you know what? They're not holding up the honor of Jesus. They're just wanting to do this thing to try to tear down. And we cannot be that way. As an armor bearer for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we have to lift Him up. Totally. Lift Him up. Lift up our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to do that. The armor bearer, like this guy right here, he, you know what? He knew the king's honor. Over in 1 Samuel 31, 1 through 5, you know what? It's talking about Saul's armor bearer. You remember what happened there? Whenever the Philistines were coming after Saul, what did they do? They shot an arrow and it hit Saul, remember? And they killed, and it wounded him. I don't know that he was wounded unto death or not, but you know what? That armor bearer was loyal unto Saul. And you say, well, how's that? Didn't he kill himself? Yeah, he killed himself. He did kill himself. But you know why he killed himself? Because it wasn't because he was afraid of what was going on around him. You know what? He killed the king. Or he didn't kill the king. He wanted him to kill him. But he wouldn't do it. So Saul fell upon his own sword. After that was done, his armor bearer killed himself. And you know what? He did that so that, you know what? The honor that was of the king could be upheld. That's what that was about. But you know what? Praise God. Are we willing to go even to death to hold up the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Are we willing to do that? You say, well, we don't have to do that in this country. There are some countries where they have to do that. There are some countries where they will, to hold up Jesus Christ as their Savior, that is certain death. There are those out there in the world today that will do that. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Would you be willing to face death for the honor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning? Would you be able to do that? I don't know what's going to come down the pike in this country. None of us know. One of these days, for me to stand up here in this pulpit and preach, to preach anything about Jesus, they may come here one of these days and say, you know what? If you're doing that, it could be certain death. I do not know. But you know what? Am I strong enough? Am I the armor bearer? Are you the armor bearer to stand up and say, I'm standing up for Jesus no matter what comes my way? You've heard the story about the Russian soldiers, have you not? Over in Russia, this bunch of Christians, this is years ago, before the fall of the wall and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, there was Christians in Russia, and they were meeting secretly to have church. And one night, a bunch of Russian soldiers come up to the door, broke the door in, and went in and asked every one of them, he said, is there anyone here that still wants to serve Jesus and wants to hold him up as their Savior? Because you're going to surely die. And you know what? There's almost all of them, except for five of them, left that house. They said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to leave. And they left. And after they left, the Russian soldiers told them, now we can have church. That's what they did. You know why? They wanted to see. They wanted to see who was willing to stand up and serve Jesus. Who was willing? Who was the armor bearers? And praise God, I'll tell you what, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to keep the king's honor up? Are we willing to do that? Listen, I'll tell you what, brothers and sisters. If we're going to be the armor bearers that we need to be, praise God, we need to stand upon what Jesus Christ has for us to do. And the other armor bearer was David. Listen, David had so many opportunities. He could have killed Saul. He could have done all kinds of things. He could have done that the whole time. And Saul was mean to him. But David said, I will not touch the anointed of God. And I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Listen to me this morning. If we're going to be the armor bearers that we need to be for Jesus Christ, we have to continue to say, listen, I will not touch the anointed of God. I will not do that. I will uphold Jesus in all things. I will do what's right. Are we willing to do what's right? Are we willing to do that to be the armor bearers that we need to be? Do you what you think is best? Listen to me. Do what you think is best. But I want to tell you that we need to be what Jesus Christ wants us to be. Amen? We need to be that. I'll tell you, praise God this morning. I am so thankful. So thankful for that. Jonathan had an armor bearer, which I think is the best. And if you read over in 1 Samuel 14, 6 through 8, and I'm not going to read it over there, but I'll just give you a little synopsis of it while we're finishing up here. Jonathan was going into battle, and he had his armor bearer with him. And his armor bearer, when they went into battle, if you read verse 13 of that same chapter, he said his armor, and they went up in amongst the Philistines. And when they got up there, they're kind of like they were outnumbered. And you know what? Jonathan looked around, and his armor bearer was following him. He followed him right up there. He didn't back down. He wasn't a coward. And I want you to know, there are going to be times where we're going to have to follow Jesus Christ no matter where He takes us. We're going to have to do what He wants us to do sometimes. And it's not going to be maybe what we feel in our own mind, but He's wanting us to step out and do what He wants us to do. And listen to me. Are we going to be the type of person to go, without questioning, to step out, to be brave, to be the kind of armor bearers that Christ wants us to be? And if we can do that, I want to tell you something this morning. I believe the ministry can grow. I believe it can. I believe this church can continue to grow. I'm telling you, I believe that it's going to grow. I believe the ministry, there's a ministry of armor bearers that's going to have to be brought forth here in this church. I believe it. And I tell you what, I think and I feel in my heart that whenever it does, we get in unity, one accord, that praise God, I tell you, that we can do such great things. When one or two are even gathered in His name, He said He is in the midst. Whenever you get 80 to 100 or 200 and do what God wants you to do, just imagine what can be done. Just imagine what can be done. Praise God this morning. Are you willing to step out this morning? Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? If they come and get a song, I'm done.